just one verse I want to draw your attention to this morning. Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We have been looking at the Ten Commandments. We've now come to the third commandment, and that's where I want to focus our minds on this morning. There are many people today who feel the Ten Commandments are out of date. They're not relevant to us in the 21st century. Non-Christians generally have accepted what we might call pluralism, which says there are no ultimate standards in life. What is right or what is wrong is what I think. That's right or that's wrong. If I think that drugs or stealing, or homosexuality is right, well then, I set the standard. And to me, that is right. Most people would say that killing is wrong, but there's a growing number of people who accept abortion or euthanasia and say, well, they're all right. They set the standard. And although they generally obey the laws of the state, they certainly would reject the idea that God lays down what they should or should not do. Many today do not like the idea of any prohibition upon their life. They don't want any thou shalt nots in their life. They want to feel they are free. They don't want their actions limited in this particular way or God to restrict them. Surprisingly, there are Christians who would also feel the commandments are not valid or applicable today. They will perhaps turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 14, and say, we are not under law, but under grace. Now, to some extent, that is true. There are Old Testament laws which do not apply to us today. Let me give you just one example. The book of Deuteronomy 22 verse 11. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool or linen mixed together. He would say, well, we can't really see the reason for that, and that obviously is just an Old Testament law. There are also many laws to do with animal sacrifices that we don't need to apply to our lives. However, we overlook, at our peril, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew, when he says, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, that's the smallest letter, or the least stroke of the pen, will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. The moral law, which includes the Ten Commandments, is as valid for us today as it was the day the Lord God wrote the commandments with his own hand. So this morning I want to focus on this third commandment. We saw the first commandment was, you shall have no other gods before me. And that's really aimed at or directed at the heart. The second commandment, you shall not make for yourself any carved image or idol or bow down to them nor serve them. It's mainly aimed at the eyes. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, or as the NIV says, misuse the name, for the Lord God will hold him guiltless who holds his name in vain. That's really aimed at the tongue. The tongue has been described as the traitor within. It betrays us. It shows what we are like, if you like. It betrays our nationality. when you speak with a foreigner for a few minutes, you suddenly realize by the pronunciation of certain words here and there that they come from another country. If you come from Yorkshire, not that's another country, but if you come from Yorkshire or Lancashire or Devon or Cornwall or Birmingham, then when you speak, you can be identified by it. You can often tell a Welshman by his speech. You may recall how the Apostle Peter was accused of being a follower of Christ because his speech betrayed him in the high priest's courtyard. "You're from Galilee," they said. They could tell by his accent that he wasn't a local boy or a local man. It was the way he spoke. His speech betrayed him. But then secondly, our speech can betray our physical health or our mental state. Just the way we speak can often tell people that we're not particularly well. You know, you feel down. And just someone says, "You're not well, are you?" Or we may feel very depressed. Or we may be very happy. And the way we speak, people think, "Yes, there's something different about that person today." So our speech betrays our physical state or mental health. Our speech can also betray our spiritual standing. The blasphemer, the person who tells dirty jokes, is hardly likely to be a Christian, for they have no respect for God or for purity. So you can often hear someone say, "I'm fairly sure that person's not a Christian by the way they actually speak." The book of James that we read describes the tongue as a fire that may begin in a small way, but then does untold damage as a forest fire often can. There in the book of James, it describes the tongue as a fountain from which flows a continuous stream of words, some good, some bad, obviously a fountain that's been polluted. The third commandment contains a clear prohibition. "You shall not." If you don't like the "thou shalt nots," then we can look at the positive side when we look at the Lord's Prayer. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Hallowed or respected or honoured be your name." We have in the commandment a clear prohibition not to take the Lord's name in vain. I think that's clearer or better than the New International Version, which says, "You are not to misuse the name of the Lord." Misuse is not the same as taking it in vain. The word "vain" means hollow or empty, or we talk about a vain threat or a vain person. There's nothing to them. They're hollow. They're empty. And we are not to disregard, or we are not to regard God's name in such a way that God's name is of no value or of little value. And so as we look at this third commandment, there are three ways we can look at the commandment. The first and most obvious way is blasphemy. To blaspheme is to use God's name irreverently, thoughtlessly, or carelessly. Just look at those three. Irreverently. Even Christians at times emphasize a particular point and use God's name to emphasize that point or to show surprise. We do not need to invoke God's name in that way. To say, "Good Lord," or "Good God," or some such phrase, is to use the name, or use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in a similar way, is really blasphemy. Such expressions dishonour God. They are irreverent. The psalmist that I quoted at the beginning, Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Such blasphemies really are the mark of the non-Christian, who doesn't realize that God is offended by such language. For Christians to speak in this way betrays either that they have not truly become a child of God, or else they do not have a true appreciation of the greatness of God. It's strange, isn't it, that as our nation becomes more and more irreligious, as more and more people reject God, the more holy things are held up frequently with lips in cursing. If they really believed there was no God, what is the point in cursing God or using his name? It's a sign of contempt for the highest authority of holy things. When did you last hear Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed's name used as a curse word? The names of false gods are rarely, if ever, used in this way as a swear word. Do we as Christians tolerate the name of God and the Lord Jesus to be used as blasphemy on radio or television? When did you last write or telephone to register an offence it caused you? Do you tolerate blasphemy on the radio or television because, well, we're enjoying the programme, we can accept one or two words? What is the level of our tolerance before we switch it off? Do you have a rule? First time, off. Or do you say, well, I can accept a certain amount because I'm enjoying that program? But then God's name can be used thoughtlessly. If we use God's name thoughtlessly, we cheapen it. It is insulting God. The ancient Jewish scribes, and this is actually true, the ancient Jewish scribes cleaned their pen every time they came to write the name of God. They also went and had a bath every time before God's name was written. Now, can you imagine that? When writing the scriptures, each time they came to the name of God, they felt they had to be clean. They would go and have a bath and write, you might write two or three words. You came to the name of God again, well, you do it again. You may think, rather strange behaviour. I have known Orthodox boys, Jewish boys in school, when it comes to write the name of God, write G, and then they don't want to write the whole name of God, they put a little dash, and then D, G dash D, because they're not going to write the name of God. And one day I asked one of the Orthodox boys, why is that the case? He said, well, this exercise book, this piece of paper, is going to be destroyed one day, and I don't want to write the name of God and then have it destroyed. God's name to me is special. Well, that is a reverence. Maybe we feel it's going too far, but it does show respect for God. God was special to them. When we use God or Christ's name thoughtlessly, we dishonour them. It's something for which one day we will have to give an answer. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And then, of course, we may take God's name carelessly or treat God's name carelessly. Even as Christians, we can use God's name in an empty or careless way. Someone sneezes and we say, God bless you. In our worship, we may frequently say, praise the Lord, just out of habit. What about our language in prayer? C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist priest of the 19th century, wrote in his book Lectures to My Students, he was trying to teach younger men how to conduct services and how to preach, he wrote this: another fault to be avoided in prayer is an unhallowed superabundance of endearing words. When dear Lord and blessed Lord and sweet Lord come over again and again as vain repetitions, they are among the worst of blots. The words, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, grieve us when we hear them so perpetually repeated. Now, Spurgeon's not condemning earnestness in prayer, but rather a careless repetition we might get into when we are praying to God. The second way we can take this commandment is to refer to promises or oaths. When we make a promise, the Christian should not really need to use God's name to seal the promise and make it more certain. Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, "Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." The world should know that when the Christian speaks, they really mean it. That when they say something, their word can be trusted. When we say something, we mean we're going to do it, and to the best of our ability, we try to fulfill. A promise should not need to be in God's name. The Bible doesn't, however, condemn taking a solemn oath in God's name. We see Abraham, on occasion we saw the Apostle Paul, and even the Lord Jesus used God's name in this way. In Matthew 26, speaking to the high priest, Jesus used, if you like, God's name as a certainty that what he said was genuine or true. Matthew 26, 63, 64. When we take a solemn oath in God's name, we must realize the seriousness of the situation and do all in our power to fulfill what we have said. And that could refer to our marriage vows, vows of godparents at a christening, giving evidence or being sworn in as a juror in court, being baptized or becoming a church member. There may be situations where we do use God's name and we mean it, if you like, with an absolute certainty. When God's name is invoked, we must not treat lightly the vow or promise. It must be something, if you like, we are certain in all our power we will fulfill. The third way that we can take this commandment is to refer it specifically to the person of God. The person of God. Each one of us have got a name. Maybe Philip, maybe John, Mary, Susan, that is your name. We may also have a title. You may be a doctor. I don't know whether there are any doctors here, but you may be a doctor. You may be just plain Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. We all have a name, and we all have at least a title. God is the same. God has many titles, however. Lord, Almighty, Holy One. None of these are his name. You may recall Moses was asked in Exodus chapter 3 to go to his people, the Jews, and to lead them from slavery. And Moses said to God, "When I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." I am in the Old Testament is basically the same meaning as Jehovah. That is God's true name. In the New Testament, we have the same thing regarding Jesus. That is his name. We see titles such as Lord, Christ, Redeemer, and so on, but he has only one name, Jesus. In the strictest sense, the third commandment is not about titles, but about the name of God. It's obviously wrong also to use titles lightly, but more so the name. Because firstly, the name recognizes personality. Personality. Machines do not have names. Yes, I know sometimes we might playfully give our car a name, but it can't love or talk or think or do the things a person can do. The God of the Bible is not simply a life force or the first cause or some distant it. He is a person and he is concerned about us. He loves. He listens to us. He acts. He has personality. But then a name means a particular person. Often today, names are given to children because the parents like the sound of them. Or it's the name of a famous person. But in the past, and especially in the Bible, names were given that really summed up the character of that particular person, or what the parents hoped that child would become. So we have Moses, which means drawn out. You know, of course, he was drawn out of the Nile. That described him in his very early childhood. Joshua means saviour, and he was a saviour to the people of Israel. Samuel heard of God, how his mother prayed, and God heard her, and he was born, and so she rejoiced and gave him the name Samuel. Their names were a kind of shorthand to sum up the person. God's name sums up his character. Psalm 99 tells us, "Let them praise your great and awesome name, for it is holy." Psalm 111 verse 9, "Holy and awesome is his name." Repeatedly the Bible stresses that holy is his name. When the Lord's Prayer says, "Hallowed be your name," it means to make holy, to honour as holy God's name. His name in this context does not mean just the word, but the person. It means may all people honour as holy everything that God's name stands for. The common phrase, "for God's sake," is not a magical formula. It means for the sake of all God's name stands for, or out of respect for all he stands for. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." It means we must not disregard or insult all that God's name stands for. We may not swear. We may not blaspheme. But do we glorify God as God? Do we lower God in the eyes of others? Are we play actors and at times hypocritical as Christians? Are we like modern furniture? Looks very nice on the outside, but it has a veneer of mahogany over chipboard. You know, do we give an impression to people that isn't really true of our hearts? We are told to magnify the Lord. What's the image of God that our lives gives to the world? Do they see a little God? Or do they see a big, powerful God? A God who is holy, who should be respected by the way that we live and by the way that we speak? What about our relationship with God? Do we dishonour his name in this? Do we worship sometimes in a very cold, formal way? How often, like me, you've picked up a hymn book to sing a hymn, and you sung the hymn, and you sit down and you think, what did I just sing? What were the words I said in that book? How we need to respect God's name when we come to worship. Do we pray as if God's not listening to us, and we don't really expect him to answer? I wonder if you know the lines from that children's hymn, "I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say?" How often do we read God's word without real concentration on what we are reading? Our lives can make a profession to belong to Christ, but is it an empty, a vain thing, far louder than the actual words that we say? Remember the story of the barren fig tree when the Lord Jesus came along looking for figs. He saw the leaves, but there was no fruit. The tree was useless. It was a sham. Are we a little bit like that on occasions? Isaiah in the Old Testament saw God's people like that. He wrote, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, who swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness." Does that sum us up? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, Many will say to me in that day, the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done wonders in your name? And then I will declare to you or to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. How we need to show a holy respect for the name of God and all that that stands for. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, in the book of Revelation, we read chapter 1, verse 17, when I saw the Lord Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. He was speechless. There was an awe there as he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And we can do the same when we come in prayer. There should be an awe. There should be a respect as we come to pray to God. When Isaiah saw the Lord's glory in the temple, he declared, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The writer of the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10 says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Isn't that an encouraging word this morning? The Lord's name is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. There is security, there is comfort in God and His name. But we must do nothing by word, deed or life to lower that dignity. So, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for he will not hold you guiltless if you do. May God challenge us by not only the things we say, but the estimation we give to God and things holy. Amen.